Oh, good morning, everybody. Now, I don't know if you're anything like me, but I keep in my Bible lots and lots of bits of paper. And some of them got verses on them, some have got little notes on them that I've made, reminders. And I have in my Bible something that I sent to my eldest granddaughter at a point in time when she was going through a really nasty bullying incident. Hence, I keep it in my Bible. So let me read it to you. It's from Isaiah 51, and I've got it written out, and I keep it in my Bible. And every time I see it, it reminds me to pray for her. All right? Let me just read it to you. It says, "What are you afraid of, or who? I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mere mortals, human beings who are but grass, that you forget the Lord your Maker, who stretches out the heavens and who lays the foundations of the earth, that live in constant terror every day because of the wrath of the oppressor who is bent on destruction? For where is the wrath of the oppressor? The cowering prisoners will soon be free. They will not die in their dungeon, nor will they lack bread. For I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the seas so that its waves roar. The Almighty, the Lord Almighty, is his name. I have put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand. I, who set the heavens in place, who lay the foundations of the earth, and who say to you, Zion, you are my people." And you know, we need somewhere to stand. You know, when we're going through situations that are not quite to our liking, when things are not going right, when we're in a situation that we don't understand, we might be up against a bully, or when we're hurting and uncertain about the way forward, then we need somewhere to stand. And for me, I want to stand on the Word of God. You know, because there is so, and we've already heard that this morning, that we need to stand on the Word of God. So how do you act when you're scared? When you're hurt? You know, when my grandchildren were small, I used to watch them quite a lot. And my second eldest granddaughter is Olivia, and she's 22. And as a little girl, if she ever hurt herself, or she was embarrassed about something, she would refuse to be comforted and would go and find a corner and hide and quietly nurse her wounds or her hurts to herself. And the only way that you could help her was to climb in the corner with her, wherever she went to hide. And sometimes that corner was under the table. Sometimes it would be behind the sofa. Sometimes it would be in the bed under the duvet. And it was not always a place of comfort for me. I've lost count of the number of times that I've sat quietly with her, squashed under a table, or laying under the duvet, sweating like a pig, desperate to get some air, but having to stay there with her until she reached a point where the sobbing subsided. And you know, when I was preparing for this morning, it brought to mind my Olivia and her way of dealing with her. You know, we're all on a journey. That journey's called life. And fortunately, you know, it's good. In church, we're doing that journey together. That's what we're here for. We're journeying together. And you know, there will be times on that journey when it's absolutely great, and you enjoy every minute of it. Just like when you go on holiday, you know, there's planning, excitement, every bit of the way is a new experience and fun, exploring and so on. And then there are times when that journey is quite mundane, quite boring, and sometimes quite tedious, doing this thing that we called life. Then there are times when it's very hard, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. You know, so much is talked today about mental health. There's times when it's hard financially. There are times when family issues come into play. There are times when our health fails. and we need healing, and there are times when we just feel battered from all sides, and just living this life is hard. You know, and with all those thoughts in my head, I opened my Bible and I went to 1 Kings and the life of Elijah. And we, most of us, know too well the story of in the Bible of Elijah. And if you don't, I'm going to tell you about Elijah this morning. Now, Elijah was a prophet and he lived in Israel. And the king at the time was a man called King Ahab. And the Bible describes Ahab as such. I'll tell you. It says, Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, but he also married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he built in Samaria. Ahab also made an Asherah pole and did more to arouse the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than did all the kings of Israel before him. That was who he was, an evil, evil man. And his wife, Jezebel, was as bad as him, and if not worse. And she wanted everybody around her to worship idols, the idol Baal. And we find in Elijah, in 1 Kings, telling King Ahab that there would be no more rain until he, Elijah the prophet, said so. So 3 years went by. Elijah was not just twiddling his thumbs in that 3 years. He was doing whatever the Lord told him to do. And I would encourage you this morning, if you've not read the story or the life of Elijah, then go to your Bible, go to 1 Kings and read it, because it really is a thrilling read. You know, it talks about a man who wouldn't move unless God told him to, who didn't do anything unless God told him to, or unless God instructed him. And, you know, for us, when we walk close to God, he instructs us. When we walk close to God, we move only at his leading. So 3 years goes by. And Elijah is told to go and present himself to Ahab. 3 years with no rain. I mean, there's sometimes in England we'd like 3 days without rain. But for them, it was 3 years without rain. And then God says to Elijah, go and present yourself to Ahab, and then I will send rain. And Jezebel, in the meantime, is busy killing off as many of God's prophets as she could find. There was a man working in the palace, and his name was Obadiah. And it says he was a devout believer of the Lord. You see, God always puts people in high places for a reason. So here was a man working in the palace of the most evil king that you could ever come across. But it says he was a devout believer and he loved God. And do you know why he was there? And that's why it's so important that, you know, we pray for our government, because there are men and women in our government who sit there quietly and they are praying from the inside. And it's up to us to pray from the outside. They're praying from the inside. And do you know why Obadiah was there in that temple working? Was simply because it gave him the opportunity to save at least 100 of the prophets of God. And he hid them. He hid them in a cave. And so when he's walking along there and he meets Elijah, and Elijah says to him, would you set up a meeting with King Ahab? Obadiah is absolutely terrified for his life. So when Elijah meets Ahab, so the first thing that Ahab does is he calls him names. He calls him the troublemaker of Israel. And Elijah says, no. Your family are the troublemakers. You are the ones who are trying to take us away from God. You are the ones who are trying to make us worship idols. You're the ones who have abandoned the Lord, and you've moved so far away from him, and you're trying to make the people do the same thing. And then comes the challenge, and you've probably all heard this before too. Elijah tells Ahab to summon the 450 prophets of Baal, and he will show them who is God. And you know the story. The altars are set up, the sacrifice is placed on the altar. Elijah even soaks his altar with water to make it even harder. So out come the prophets of Baal, and they shout and they yell to their pseudo-god, their false god, and nothing happens. And then Elijah steps forward. And he prayed, and he said, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so that these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. And it says, then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and it also licked up the water in the trench. And when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. You see, God is God. Nothing can change that. God is God. And then the rain came. Well, Jezebel was furious. And it tells us that Elijah was afraid. And he ran for his life. And this was the part that reminded me of my Olivia going away and hiding behind the sofa or under the table or under the duvet, because he went into the wilderness. And he sat down under a broom tree and he said to the Lord, I've had enough. Lord, take my life. I don't want to do this anymore. I've had enough. I don't want to be here. And then it tells us he fell asleep. And an angel touches him on the arm to awaken him, and he says, get up and eat. And beside them is a fire with freshly baked bread. So he gets up, he eats, and he drinks, and then he sleeps again. He's awoken a second time, and the angel says to him, get up and eat. The journey that you're going on is a long journey. So he eats. And he drinks again. And then he sets out on this journey, 40 days and 40 nights, until he reaches Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. So here is Elijah, a prophet. He loves God. He serves God. He has seen God do all the most amazing things through him. And yet here he is, trembling and shaking, a shaking wreck, hiding in the wilderness. So what does God do? The first thing he does is he comes alongside him and he comforts him. He gives him food. You know, when our physical strength is gone, we need food. He refreshes him with water. And this isn't the first time that this happens to Elijah. You know, Elijah has seen God act like this before, when previously God sent ravens to feed him. So then he goes off on his journey. He sets off on this journey to Mount Horeb, God's mountain, to meet with God. And that's really what we've come here this morning for, to meet with God. He reaches the mountain and God says to him, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? So Elijah goes off into a right old moan and he says to him, I've been doing my best. All the prophets are being killed. I'm the last one left. Now they're trying to kill me. And he has a right old moan. And the Lord says to him, go and stand out on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then it tells us in 1 Kings, it says, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied again, I've been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've torn down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. And the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. And then he gives Elijah instructions on what he wants him to do. So what does this tell us? What did it tell me about my spiritual journey, my life journey, my day-by-day walk? It tells me that sometimes fear overtakes you. It tells me that sometimes it all seems too much. But in those times when fear overtakes you, when it all seems too much, when things look like they're going belly up, when things are not quite going as you thought they would, that God will come alongside you, and very, very tenderly, he will care for you. First of all, we need food. You know, this is our food. This is our food. We need to be able to take from God's word something that we can stand so firmly on that no matter what the world throws at us, we will not be moved. This is our food, the word of God. And when we know and fully understand what we're standing on, this becomes our food, it becomes our sustenance, it becomes our strength. There's a verse in Psalm 119, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. He will provide for you physically. He will feed you. He will quench your thirst. There's another verse in Jeremiah, and it says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. The leaves are always green, and there is no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. That is God's promise to us. That's where we need to place our feet, on his promises, and know that no matter what the world throws at us, no matter what life throws at us, God is there beside us. He will walk with us the whole way. He walks before us. He covers our back. He walks beside us. He holds our hand. He carries us. There's times when he carries us. He will keep you safe. And there will be times, you know, where he needs to take you aside and ask you the question, what are you doing here? What is the situation that you find yourself in? Sometimes we need to look at our situation and think, what do I need to do about this? Do I need to go back? Do I need to go back where it all seemed to go wrong and put it right before I can go forward? That's what Elijah had to do. He had to go back. He had to wait there, get things right before God could move him forward. And we don't need to journey to, like Elijah, to Mount Horeb. You know, our Heavenly Father welcomes us into his throne room. You know, that is amazing, isn't it? That he opens the door and says, come into my throne room. Jesus Christ has made a way for you to come into my throne room, and you are welcome. You know, our experience of the earthquake and the rushing wind and the fire, that's the amazing touch of the Holy Spirit that we've been talking about this morning. That is the amazing touch of the Holy Spirit in our life. Our counsellor, our guidance. You know, when we sit quietly in his presence, we can definitely hear that gentle whisper. And we wait. We just wait in his presence. You know, I would say to Elijah, what are you afraid of? That verse that I read to my granddaughter, what are you afraid of? Because God answers it. I am there for you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am your journey companion forever. What are you doing here? Don't be afraid. I am enough for you. And when we hear that, you know, we can move on, knowing that he will keep hold of our hand. We can move on in total certainty that God knows you better than you know yourself. We can move on in this spiritual journey that we will take through highs and through lows. There will be mountains, there will be valleys. But you know, God says, don't camp in the valley. Don't camp in the valley. It's the valley that you move through. It's not somewhere that you camp. Move on, knowing that every step you take, he has walked before you. Move on, knowing that when you need to be carried, he will carry you. Move on, knowing that he is sufficient for all your needs. Move on, knowing that you are his precious child and he is your God and your heavenly Father. You know, we cannot live without God. Once we know him, once you have known him, once you have experienced him, you cannot live without him. You might pretend that you can, but you cannot live without him. And your experience of him is never enough. There is always, always more. So my final question to you would be, do you need more? Do you want more? I would encourage you to be in a place where you always, always want more of God, more of his Holy Spirit, more of his leading in your life. You know, it's one time, and I say this to the ladies over and over again, you know, we're always talking about losing weight and watching what we eat and things like that. You know, when you sit down and there's a plate in front of you, you never want to be seen to be greedy. But this is one time in your life where you can be greedy. You can be an absolute glutton and not be ashamed of it. So take as much as you can and then come back for more. That's my message to you this morning. You know, we look at Elijah and we see that fear and how God just came and he put his arm around him and he comforted him and he said, don't be afraid. You know, I've got it. I've got you. I've got this. And just know today that that is what God is saying to us today. So I'd just like to pray for you and then I'll hand back over to Steve.